what happens when divorce is always the backup plan or the threat for one or both of the spouses? Can you share about this story?
Oh, absolutely. This is a really great couple. So they got married, like many Catholics, not really understanding their faith. The wife had already had a child out of wedlock with a different man, and they were already living together, the couple that eventually did get married, the couple that's telling their story. So, but they were living together before marriage. They got married. The wife had always, in her own background, heard her mother threaten divorce whenever the parents would fight. So in her experience, that's just what you did. So if you're, she would have a fight with her husband, she would say, "I'm going to divorce you." And so she brought up the D word all the time. And his response, because he was not yet a courageous or strong man, and he loved his wife, but every time she would kind of threaten him and threaten to leave him and kind of emasculate him in many ways, he started to take up drinking. So he became an alcoholic. And so then he would lose his jobs. Sometimes he'd be passed out at work, and she would just be infuriated. And you know, by now they had some kids, more kids. And so it became just this horrible, stressful cycle of fighting and mistrust and constantly the wife throwing out the D word, the D word. And so eventually it's kind of a story where they both didn't fully know their faith yet, and they had to come around to that. But when she made the decision at one point to stop using that word, and it was partially because of a friend at work, a divorced man at work, who basically said, no, he was a Christian man. He said, stop. And so she told him one day, I think it was in the kitchen, they were having a fight. And she said, "I just want you to know, I am furious with you. You know, I'm mad and you're doing all these bad things, but I will never divorce you. I will never divorce you. I'm going to stick it out." And everything about him changed at that moment. He suddenly realized, okay, she's not hanging this over my head. There's not this threat of divorce. I have confidence now. I feel like I'm in a secure situation, and now I can look at things differently and be a better man. And it was a turning point. And I don't think people really fully understand that when there's confidence that no one's going anywhere, then there's the space and the safety to be a sinner and yet know that you'll still be loved, and that you have a lifetime to become who God wants you to be, both individually and as a couple. And so that was a turning point for them. And they just have a beautiful marriage right now. And they actually just had another baby. But they just transformed themselves. And it was as simple as just that little mind change that we are not putting divorce on the table.
Layla, this is an incredible story. And if you're just joining us, you're listening to Trending with Tim Ray. That's Layla Miller. You can give us a call at 1-888-914-9149 with your questions. Layla, what stands out to me, just two incredibly important points that you brought up. Essentially, what happens when divorce is kind of the theme in the background, it kind of always builds this attitude that there's a way out rather than this fidelity to the sacrament, as we talk about. But then also the fear it can instill in another person, kind of that fear that someone does not love me unconditionally, especially in a culture when so many people have grown up without both of the parents in the home. And this kind of sense of security and fidelity and love is already an issue. And so having that kind of thing or word of divorce hanging over your head, it can create a lot of fear and anxiety. And it really makes me think about how important it is to have perspective in our own lives and not to villainize one spouse over another when these stories of our friends and family come up, where it's so easy for us to assume that there's one innocent party and there's one perpetrator. When in reality, another theme that stood out to me in the stories that you've compiled is that often there was a turning point when the spouse that maybe you and I on the surface would consider the innocent party often realized their own contribution to the breakdown of the marriage. Can you share a little bit more about that?
Happens all the time. And I'm going to speak as a woman here, because we women tend to do something. And if women are honest, when we talk among ourselves, we will admit this. We tend to think that when we are criticizing our husbands and running him down, or and we may not say it like that. We think we're actually helping him see his faults so that he can be a better person, right? So the criticisms that really come as a drumbeat often, you know, a few months, years into marriage, it emasculates a man. A man wants nothing more than to please his wife and to be able to say that he is able to please his wife, to have a happy wife. And so a woman can start to nitpick and criticize. And so it kind of makes a man less masculine. It makes him feel terrible. And he might start to not love her as well as he should because he's feeling terrible about himself. He might start to go to, you know, again, I'm not excusing it, but he might start to turn to pornography. He might start to drink. And we think we're really helping him. And yet, you know, I always tell women, you have to think, if your man was doing that to you, where everything you did, he was correcting you or criticizing you or telling you that you weren't doing it the right way, we would be up in arms. We'd say, what's he doing? Why is he treating me like that? So sometimes we don't understand what we're doing. So men might be doing very bad things. And yes, I'm not going to excuse anyone's sin. But in the stories, a lot of times the women would start to realize, wait a second, I need to stop looking at his sin and I need to start working on myself from the interior. And when they do that, what I saw was that all these stories, especially, you know, these stories are mostly from women because mostly women talk about the relationships. So those were mostly who answered my call for these stories. But they would start to see their own sins and work on themselves. And then they would start to see a transformation in their relationship. And I started to recognize that every one of the stories was, in essence, a conversion story. And I didn't realize that till like halfway through editing. And I'm thinking, these are conversion stories. People's hearts mm-hmm. are being changed because people are forgiving. They're not holding resentments. They're not focusing on the other person's sins to the detriment of their own. And so you're right. It looked like one side was the bad guy. And then you realized, wait a second, no one's innocent here. You know, what can we do on our side? You stay in our lane. You know, our vow was what we were going to do, not what we were going to force someone else to do. So yeah, you really got that right. That's how it almost always is. There are very few people who are truly just completely wonderful people who are married to tyrants. It just doesn't usually happen mm-hmm. that way.
Absolutely. Again, that's Layla Miller. She's joining us here on Trending with Timmery. Layla, what stands out in what you were just talking about is that feminism, unfortunately, this radical feminism, is an underlying theme where we unfortunately are contributing to the emasculation of men in ways that we don't realize. And Abby Johnson a few weeks ago was here with us on Trending, and one of the beautiful fruits that she was sharing with us of kind of finding happiness in marriage and having converted to Catholicism was when she realized her own contribution to emasculating her husband and the impact that had in her marriage. And she realized that she's laughing at TV where we see all this emasculation of men. She realized, oh my goodness, I'm laughing at myself. I'm laughing at what I do as well. And so this is kind of touching on something. We need models of women who are setting a good example of not emasculating men in the culture. And where would you point to for those people who feel like, you know, I really don't know how to interact in terms of a male-female relationship. I didn't have this model to me. Where would you point people who want more?
So it's tricky because we were raised in this soup of feminism. We don't even realize it. I've never called myself a feminist, and yet I realize that I've been influenced by it in my own marriage of 30 years a lot. And, you know, it's painful to recognize. So we don't have a lot of people trying to pull us out of that feminist soup, even in the Catholic community, unfortunately. But I do, I love the work of Cary Grace, for example. Cary Grace wrote the Anti-Mary
yes.
Exposed.
Yes,
and that was really kind of a history of feminism, realizing that this is not good for women. Feminism and femininity are very different things. And we were made to be feminine, not to be feminist, which is a political ideological movement that is about killing the patriarchy. And quite frankly, since God created families and his church in a patriarchal structure, you don't want to have anything to do with something that's trying to bring down a patriarchy, because it's the opposite of Catholicism. So I love Cary Grace. I love Lila Lawler, who has her like mother, like daughter blog. She's fantastic. A Freed from Feminism podcast I just did recently. They're great, two gals that left feminism. So there's stuff out there, but it's difficult to find, but it's worth it.
That's Layla Miller, author of Impossible Marriages Redeemed. You can learn more about her and her work at laylamiller.net. We'll be right back here on Trending with Timmery.
We're talking about what you're thinking about. You're listening to Trending with Timmery on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Join the conversation. The number is 1-888-914-9149. Again, that's 1-888-914-9149. The Relevant Radio studio line is sponsored by Catholic Order of Foresters. Employment opportunities to become an agent or information about their flexible premium life insurance plans are available at relevantradio.com/Forester. Coming up, we'll be talking about the history of wedding bands and also engagement rings as well. So don't go away. It'll be really interesting, and it ties back into the greatness of Catholic marriage. With me now is Layla Miller. You can find her at laylamiller.net. She's the editor and author of Impossible Marriages Redeemed. And we've been talking about her work in this book and how we Catholics have contributed essentially to this divorce culture and our advice. And it's interesting because, Layla, one of the things that stood out to me yet again is just how when we're surrounded by a divorce mindset, it makes things worse, whether we're in a rocky marriage or a stable marriage. And so my question is, how can we support marriages that are in turmoil rather than encourage and support divorce as an option or the only option?
Yeah, it's incredibly important that you not become a wedge between any spouse and the other spouse. So if you're a friend of, this is, again, particularly with women, this happens a lot, that we women tend to want to empathize with our suffering sisters. And we're good at empathizing. That's what God made us, very relational. And sometimes in this fallen world, it becomes disordered to where we just tell the women that we love in our family or otherwise in our, you know, our circle of even Catholic friends, oh, you know, God doesn't want you to be unhappy. God doesn't want you to suffer. This is not what you're supposed to be doing. You need to find your soulmate. So we end up putting a wedge between husband and wife. And you never want to be the person who puts a wedge between a husband and a wife. That is not the place that God wants you. So what you can do, you can be the one voice, perhaps the only voice, mm-hmm. who, and again, if you were at their wedding, you have an obligation, like you said, to stand up for this wedding, for this marriage. You don't have to solve the problems of this couple, but you can remind them what marriage is and that it's permanent. It's for our good, and that God will give them the grace to get through it if you don't end the story in the middle. Reminding them of the differences between men and women. Sometimes it's as simple as that little light bulb going off that we are not the same and we can't keep treating each other as if we're all, you know, the same. Reminding them that difficulties are built right into the wedding cake. That's how it is. That it's baked right in there. The cross is, believe me, priesthood is a vocation. Think how many crosses the priests have. Well, same thing with a marriage. You have many crosses. That's what makes us holy. You could talk about how divorce harms children. Oh my goodness, I could talk on that for hours. I never knew until I wrote Primal Loss. And that people later regret their divorces. That's the dirty little secret nobody wants to talk about, is you can't go back. Once you've broken a family, it's shattered. It's gone. Mm-hmm. So encourage them. Encourage your, give them hope. You know, give a couple hope. Most couples statistically in 1 year from the time that they're thinking of divorce will not want a divorce if they stick it out. They'll feel better about things. But people
tend to
quickly.
Can you say that again?
Yeah, statistically, a year, if people are considering divorce, if you just give it 1 year, most people will feel better about their marriage and they will not want that divorce anymore. So stick it out. You know, remember the vow. The vow is 50% negative. And the vow never said, as long as he or she does it too. And you did make an oath to that and to God and to the, through the community and to that person. So what you said was very important. offered them hope, encouraged them to distance them from themselves from anyone who would drive a wedge mm-hmm. between them. You may be the only voice that does that. So it's, and it could be, and I've seen it, it can be the one that turns it around.